This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One person in China who can move financial markets just with his schedule. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Stock indexes in China posted big jumps today after being battered for 2 years now. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up more than 3%, Hong Kong up 4%. This follows a string of announcements from Chinese regulators about efforts to stabilize the market. Plus, a big one today, Bloomberg News reporting President Xi himself will speak to financial regulators about the state of the stock market. Marketplace of China correspondent Jennifer Pak is in Shanghai.
For the past 4 years, China's stock market has not been a place to put your money because there's a lot of uncertainty with U.S.-China tensions and the property slump. Meanwhile, China's economy has not fully recovered from the strict pandemic-era lockdowns. China's regulators say they will stabilize the market, but did not say how. Some observers say today's market bounce reflects Chinese government-backed investors buying up stocks rather than a shift in investor sentiment. It doesn't help that China's government has been censoring experts who talk about the Chinese economy in less than glowing terms. Frustrated Chinese investors have used creative ways to vent about the stock market, including under a post about giraffes by the U.S. Embassy on its Chinese social media account. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Coming out of last year, many business economists were becoming less worried about the U.S. falling into recession this year, according to a survey of members of the National Association of Business Economics in January. Just about all, 91%, were thinking there was less than a 50-50 chance of recession in 2024. But the news today is that one of the biggest banks, Deutsche, no longer expects a recession in the U.S. this year with cooling inflation and what the bank sees as, quote, a better balance of workers and open positions. This morning, the car service Lyft unveiled a plan to guarantee drivers a share of their weekly efforts, a promise that drivers will get at least 70% of what customers pay. The company's also promising better transparency over how fares are divvied up. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, Lyft says a vast majority of its drivers already take home more than 70% of weekly fares, but this will make sure that the 15% who don't will get a pay bump. Notably, that 70% share comes after the company deducts external fees, which it describes as things like local taxes and added insurance costs. So really, the actual take-home pay could still be less than 70% of what passengers actually pay, but it's still a new higher floor for drivers. Lyft is also promising to offer drivers a weekly earnings summary that breaks down how much money is coming in and where it's going, David.
So is this a tight labor market at work?
Yes, Lyft is competing for labor, especially with its bigger rival Uber. Lyft's chief executive told Reuters that he hopes this change will attract more drivers. But also, gig economy companies in general have been facing pressure to improve pay. New York City last year set the nation's first minimum wage for food delivery workers. And the Labor Department next month will begin enforcing new rules that tighten who can be considered a gig worker. And the department has said that it will prioritize enforcement at companies where it thinks workers are being deprived fair wages, David.
All right, thanks. there is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, we'll get quarterly results from two big beauty brands, the affordable e.l.f. Beauty Cosmetics and a fancy one, Estee Lauder, which started out the week by saying it is cutting more than 3,000 jobs, as much as 5% of the workforce. It's a time with many new competitors in the makeup and what they call beauty market. Here's Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall.
If you're going to launch a beauty brand these days, you really have to bring it, says Eva Yen, founder of the consultancy Love Life Beauty.
When there's so many, let's say, you know, gladiators already there, why are you coming into the arena to fight? What do you have to offer that's different?
It's an evolving business, influenced heavily by the ethos of Gen Z, says Ildiko Juhas with the Fashion Institute of Technology. When young people dab on a fragrance,
they want to express themselves. They want it to boost their mood. They don't necessarily they're not necessarily doing it to seduce somebody else.
Gen Zers also don't necessarily want to buy beauty products in a store unless there's a hook.
Is it an appearance from a brand founder? You know, is it like a celebrity appearance? Is it like there's a sampling, you know, program happening?
This round, it's Gen Z, but legacy brands have always had to keep redefining themselves to stay relevant, says Katie Thomas with the Kearney Consumer Institute.
In a lot of ways, besides for a couple products, not always an incredibly loyal category and that you're going to stay there for years and years and years.
One way brands, new and old, may pitch themselves this year is by focusing on the science behind their products.
So a lot of talk of, you know, peptides or perhaps at-home tools.
And legacy brands who have invested big bucks in research and development may use that as a selling point, says Mintel analyst Lauren Goodsit.
Bringing that to the forefront so that while consumers are out doing their research, trying to find the best products, the best brands, they'll see that proven efficacy and know that it is a brand that they can trust.
And earning that trust also depends on having the right messenger, says Melissa Hibbert, founder of Shift Beauty Consulting Agency. Instead of relying on celebrity influencers who have paid thousands of dollars for plastic surgery, consumers want more authenticity.
The jig is up. The veil has been pulled back and, you know, and brands know it now. They cannot keep moving in that direction.
She says brands can build that trust by working with nano influencers who have niche audiences. I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
Estee Lauder stock with the layoff announcement went up 12% yesterday, the biggest jump in a dozen years. We're from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.